I know this job is not what I expected, but thank you, God. I know we don't have as much as we need, but I praise you right now for what you're about to do. I know this child is not making the best decisions, but I thank you, God, because I know you see everything and you're working in them. I know it's just 2 fish and 5 loaves, but I still lift it up and I thank you, God, right now. You need to put on spiritual eyes to understand this sermon, because if you don't have spiritual eyes, all you're going to see is 2 fish and 5 loaves. That's all you're going to see. You need to understand the power of the presence. Hey, friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Reuben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life.
Today's our last sermon on this series, Fish and Loaves. And we've been looking at this incredible story involving the feeding of the 5,000. You can find it in all 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're gonna look at the big miracle today. In light of Thanksgiving week, what does it mean to be thankful? What does it mean to give thanks? That's what we're looking at. We're going to start with this story. We're going to look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 30. Says this: the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Have you ever wanted to be alone, but you couldn't be alone? When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had what church? Compassion. Praise the Lord. Aren't you grateful you have a Savior who has compassion? He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. We talked about that phrase a few weeks ago. So he began teaching them many things. Oh, Jesus is so good. By this time, it was what? It was late in the day. So his disciples came to him and they said, "This is a what? A remote place." You got it? It was late. It was remote. And they said, "It's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." Isn't that a great line? Jesus looks and he says, "You know, you feed them." They said to him, "Well, that would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" Like, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. Why would you say that? That's an impossible request. "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. And I love these 3 words. Can you read them with me? "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Here it is, verse 41. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Verse 42, let's read it together. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was how many? Just the men. Most Bible scholars believe that, well, assuming they were married or had children, it could be as much as 15,000, 20,000. We don't know. We don't know. That's why we call this annual event that we do every year Feed 5,000. Because it has a lot of significance. So you see this story and the disciples, it all starts even before this, there was a funeral. John the Baptist was beheaded. And the disciples bury a headless John the Baptist. And so they're mourning, they're grieving. They just need space to process. They need space to decompress. They need space to cry out to God. And instead of that happening, there's a whole bunch of people that just need a miracle. A whole bunch of people. So they follow, they say, oh, there he is over there. They're over there. Let's go follow them. So they follow them, and the disciples haven't eaten, and they're tired, and they're worn out, and they're like, time out. We need a break. And they show up, and Jesus sees this crowd, and he has compassion. Thank you, Lord. He's tired. He's worn out. But he looks at the crowd, and he has compassion. Do you know right now, Jesus has compassion on you? Right now, God has compassion on you. He sees your life. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows your thoughts. He knows the weight you carry. He knows your battles. He knows your intimate daily affairs and challenges, your financial, your health, your relational, the battles with the demons that you... He has compassion on you. He cares about you. And the story says that you know, all of a sudden it's getting late. And then the disciples, you know, want to educate Jesus. And they tell him, it's getting late. Send everybody away. And I love what Jesus says. You feed them. I think sometimes God allows us to get into situations that are impossible. And he just like watches us and says, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Who are you going to go to for help? Who are you going to go to for help? And that's what he does. And he tells them to go and see. Go and see. I want to say this. What you have is enough. What you have is enough. Turn to the person next to you. Just tell them it's enough. Can you do that? What you have is enough. I know it doesn't always feel like it's enough. I know it doesn't. I know you may not believe it right now. I know you may not believe it right now. I know it. I know you might feel you're low on strength or low on faith or low on hope. Maybe you're not feeling good about yourself. Maybe you're not feeling good about some decisions you made and you just feel like, you know what? I don't know. But this miracle in this text begins with this not enough space. That's where this whole miracle starts, in this not enough. And when you look at the Bible, there's so many examples of times when it was not enough. Gideon is a great example. Gideon was a farmer. And God said, I want to use you to defeat the Midianites. There was an army of 135,000 soldiers coming against them. And God strategically just whittles down his army to an army of 300 to face 135,000. And God says, okay, now that's enough for me to work with. 300 against 135,000. At some point, doesn't it just like fall off of the edge of your mind a little bit? Like, I don't understand that. But you have to understand, what you have is enough for God to work with. What you have is enough for God to work with. We always have our eyes on what we're lacking. God doesn't start with abundance. God starts with deficiency. It's when you don't have the resources. It's Elijah's widow who says, I'm just going to eat this last meal and we're going to die. And God tells her, why don't you go ahead and take that little bit of flour and that little bit of oil and give it to this prophet and you'll never run out. But in her mind, she's thinking, how can I do that? It's not enough. It's not enough for me. It's not enough for him. It's not enough. Gideon's army, how could I face 135,000? I've got 300. Don't we need partners?
Where are the partners? And God says, no, I'm your partner. 300 plus me is enough. It's when you don't have enough money. It's when you don't have enough strength. It's when you don't have enough hope. It's when you think it's too late. It's when you're ready to give up on yourself. It's when you're ready to give up on your marriage. It's when you're ready to give up on that friendship. It's when you're ready to give up on the dream. It's when you're ready, when you're saying, it's not enough. And God is telling you, it's enough. You hear that? It's enough. John chapter 6. This is not just a cute Bible story. I think the danger of looking at scripture, sometimes we can look at the Bible and say, well, that was true for them back then. It's the same God that we cry out to today. It's the same God that parted the Red Sea that we cry out to. It's the same Jesus that fed the 5,000 that we cry out to today. It's the same Jesus who rose Lazarus from the dead that wants to work inside of you. It's the same Holy Spirit that fell on the early church that wants to fall on you. It's the same God. It's the same God. Verse 9 in the Gospel of John chapter 6. There's this young boy, and Philip's involved with this. He said, they come back, and Jesus says, what do you have? You know, go and see. And it says, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? What good is that? Can you say that with me? What good is that? Have you ever looked at something you had and thought, what good is that? Maybe it was a financial situation. This is all we've got. What good is that? It's not enough. What good is that? And I think we could all be guilty of that. See, you have to understand, the disciples saw a shortage. Jesus saw a seed. The disciples looked, and all they saw was what they didn't have. In fact, they minimized it. They devalued it. They said, here's this young man who brought his lunch. His mom packed for him. All we've got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that, Jesus? Not even you can do anything with that. Gratitude is what turns a seed into a harvest. So a seed, when you look at a seed, it's not very impressive. It's small, isn't it? You may not even know what it will become. Insignificant and small. But one thing about a seed is it possesses potential. A seed possesses potential. And gratitude unlocks that seed. It unlocks that seed. That's the response of gratitude. It unlocks that seed, and all of a sudden the potential is realized. Let me say it like this. It's easy to be ungrateful about things we overlook. It's easy to be ungrateful and overlook a faithful wife, a faithful husband, a faithful friend, a faithful church. It's easy to overlook the faithful. A beautiful day, the breath in your lungs. It's easy to overlook all of those things. Here's the disciples overlooked who was standing in front of them. Jesus said in John chapter 6, he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will what? Will never go hungry. And whoever believes what? In me will never be thirsty. Jesus is manna from heaven. He's the bread of life. And they have this problem, and they're looking at this young boy, and all he's got is 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they say, Jesus, what good is that? And they're completely overlooking who is standing in front of them. It's the same story you read about when the disciples face a storm. And they say, Jesus, wake up. Don't you care that we're going to drown? Do you know how big your Jesus is? Do you know how big your God is? Do you know how big your Savior is? Do you know the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you know nothing is impossible for God? Are you really aware that you don't have to worry about anything because Jesus is with you? If you don't have Jesus, you better invite Jesus. I don't know how anybody can get through life without Jesus. I don't know how any marriage can work without Jesus. I don't know how you could be happy without Jesus. I don't know how you could have peace without Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. The answer to your prayer is not about what you have. It's about whose hands you put in the problem into. It's not about we've got 15,000, 20,000 people, and we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's about, Jesus, you do your thing. I'm going to give this to you. The disciples saw a shortage, and Jesus said, that's enough. Verse 41, here it comes. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. That phrase there, he gave thanks, in original Greek is eulogeo, eulogeo. It means this: to speak well, to bless, or to praise. That's why you see this phrase over and over throughout Scripture. To speak well, to bless, or to praise. Jesus was the only one that said, it's enough. Watch. Everybody else was worried. The disciples were worried. The disciples said, it's late. It's late. Don't you understand that it's a time issue, God? Don't you understand how things work, God? Time is bigger than you. God transcends time. God's not intimidated with time. God's not intimidated with the lack of resources. God's not intimidated with a deficiency. And Jesus turns around, takes those 5 loaves and 2 fish, and you know what he does? He recognizes the blessings of God. He recognizes the goodness of God. He recognizes the faithfulness of God. He recognizes the providence, the blessing, the goodness of God. And he says, God, I thank you, God. I thank you, Heavenly Father. His desire was to do the will of the Father. And he's the only one who recognizes the grace, the faithfulness, the goodness. And he praises God for the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Everybody else said, it's not enough. And Jesus is like, get out of the way. Give me the fish. Give me that little. You don't understand what's happening. Sometimes, by God's grace, God moves before us even when we don't have the faith. Sometimes, by God's grace, God does the miracle that we never asked for. Not one of them said, hey, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's all good, Jesus, here. Nobody did that. You know what they said? What good is that? It's not enough. You know what I'm talking about? You look at your life and you've convinced yourself that the problems got you. You convince yourself that your future has been changed. You convince yourself that you'll never be. You convince yourself you'll never get past that. You've convinced yourself you'll never. You know, we can convince ourselves of stuff and say, I'm always going to be here. But you don't know. Jesus, all he needs is 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all he needs. Anybody got 5 loaves and 2 fish? You know what I'm talking about? Can you thank God in the not yet season? Can you praise God in the almost season? Can you worship God when you've got 5 loaves and 2 fish? Can you worship God in that season right there? Are you at a place where you recognize Jesus is with you? God is with you. You're in the center of God's will. As long as he's with you, it's enough. Hear this, your gratitude starts in small places. I know this paycheck is not enough, but thank you, Lord. Thank you. I know this job is not what I expected, but thank you, God. I know we don't have as much as we need, but I praise you right now for what you're about to do. I know this child is not making the best decisions, but I thank you, God, because I know you see everything and you're working in them. I know it's just 2 fish and 5 loaves, but I still lift it up and I thank you, God, right now. You need to put on spiritual eyes to understand this sermon. Because if you don't have spiritual eyes, all you're going to see is 2 fish and 5 loaves. That's all you're going to see. You need to understand the power of the presence. The power of the presence of God will change your home. It'll change your life. It'll change your memories. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your children. It'll change your children's 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 children. It'll change everything. You don't know what's happening right now. You have no idea. You being here right now, God is working in your heart right now, and he is working in your life, and he's going to be working in all of your descendants and everyone around you. You got to hear that. Gratitude is not just a reaction, it's a revelation. A revelation that God is already working. When Jesus saw those 2 fish and 5 loaves, it was a revelation that he said, this is enough. This is enough. You guys, all of you naysayers can get over here. 2 fish and 5 loaves is enough. All of you who think it's not enough can just stand and watch, but it's enough. Gratitude is a revelation that God is hearing my prayers. That's why those of you who read your Bible, it's so important to read your Bible, because God will speak to you and he'll give you a word, and it's a revelation that God is about to work and God is moving. And that's why you can be full of joy and praise and your circumstances haven't changed. It's because God just spoke to me this morning and he told me it's going to be all right. That's a revelation. It's a revelation that God is doing something even though your circumstances haven't changed. That's gratitude. It's being grateful. Thank God for the breath in your lungs. Thank God for the roof over your head. Thank God for the car that turned on this morning. Hallelujah. Thank God you were able to get out of bed and come to church. Thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the peace of God. Thank God for the friends around you. Thank God that you have a God who knows how to start over, and you have a God who knows how to breathe new life, and you have a God who knows how to comfort. You have a God who knows how to take you through tough times. Thank God for that. Don't overlook it. Paul said this, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. What a great word for Thanksgiving, right? Be thankful for in all circumstances. That means be thankful when you're empty. Be thankful when you're full. Be thankful when you're well. Be thankful when you're sick. And you can say, God, I need you to help me. Be thankful when you're suffering. Be thankful when you're rejoicing. Be thankful when you're feeling good and you're just vibing the whole day. And be thankful for the times when you're low. Yeah. Be thankful for all emotions. Be thankful while you're waiting. And be thankful while you're blessed. In every season, hear this. Your gratitude is a weapon and your praise is a multiplier. When you learn to be thankful, your attitude changes. You see things different. It's that person who says, God, I don't see it yet, but I trust you. It's that person who says, I don't have it yet, but I worship you. It hasn't happened yet, but I worship you, God, because I know I'm in your hands. I haven't been healed yet, but I have hope in you. It's this focus on who God is and getting your eyes off of the 2 fish and 5 loaves and convincing yourself it's not enough. What good is that? Some of you are living in the not yet season of your life. And some of you have stopped thanking God because you've been living in the not yet season. Some of you have stopped praising God because you've been in the not yet season of your life. You know you have an enemy. It's the devil. And the devil wants you to turn away from God. The devil ultimately wants you to self-destruct. The devil wants to isolate you from a good church. The devil wants to isolate you from people who love Jesus. The devil wants you to just get alone with your life, claim a victim mentality, whatever it is, and he wants you to sulk and go to a dark place and self-destruct. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants to separate you from the love of God. And the devil does not want you to thank God for the 2 fish and the 5 loaves. The devil does not want you to pray for your family and for your friends. The devil does not want you to serve in the church. The devil's okay with you attending church all the time and never serving and never giving and never praying and never humbling yourself. The devil's okay with you attending church. The devil, amen, the devil wants to separate you from God's love. Hear this. Some of you need to hear this. Stop waiting for the big miracle to say thank you. Stop waiting for the big job change or that answered prayer. Stop waiting for the big miracle to say, God, I worship you right now with the two fish and the five loaves. I thank you right now. I thank you, God, right now. Some of you are waiting for God to multiply. And he says, why don't you thank me first? And God says, thank me first, then watch me work. Thank me first and watch me work. Saying thank you, incidentally, it's harder nowadays. I've discovered it's not as frequent as it used to be. Some of you who were older know what I'm talking about. Mark Batterson said, nothing builds bridges like thanks. You can open the door for people and they don't always say thank you. You can buy a meal for someone, they don't always say thank you. You can buy them a cup of coffee, they don't always say thank you. You can do something kind for someone, they don't always say thank you. You know, am I right? Am I right? You know what I'm talking about? That's a culture we live in. But I'm gonna tell you, saying thank you is the most simple thing you can do to build a bridge. It shows that other person that you recognize what they did for you and you're grateful. So simple, isn't it? Rather than saying, well, I should be getting whatever, just saying thank you. Negative people have a hard time saying thank you. Are you sitting by a negative person? You know any negative people? Negative people don't say thank you very much. They have a negative outlook in life. They expect the worst. They're judgmental. They have negative opinions. They're arrogant. They have an inflated sense of self-importance. They look down on others. You can't teach them anything because they know everything. They don't have a teachable spirit. They can be disrespectful. They can complain. And they feel entitled. Hear this. Gratitude is the enemy of entitlement. Oh, you need to listen to this part. If you've been checking out in this sermon, hear this part. Here's some attributes of entitled people. Are you an entitled person? Are you sitting by an entitled person? Hear this. Entitled people, they think they're better than everybody else. They are highly critical people, entitled people. They think whatever they got, they were supposed to get. They think, I don't owe you a thank you for what you were supposed to do anyway. They think you owe them. They think they care most about themselves. In fact, they convince themselves that every good thing happens because of their hand. Entitled people. And check this out. They love money. Here's the truth. When you're dealing with an entitled person, you can give them $500, but they're going to complain that you didn't pay for their coffee. When you never thank God, you teach your heart entitlement. When you never thank God, you teach your heart entitlement. Let me tell you how to experience God. James chapter 4. Here's how you turn this entitlement spirit upside down. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The one thing that gets God's attention is when you humble yourself before God, and you say, God, I need you. The one thing that gets God's attention, and I'm talking to you who call yourself a Christian too. You know, Christians can battle pride. Do you know that? Non-Christians can battle pride. Church people, unchurched people, doesn't matter. Pride is as old as Lucifer in heaven. And it's so powerful. You could be living in a 20,000 square foot home and be full of pride. And you could be living out of your car and be full of pride. You got to humble yourself. I'm looking forward to the day when I'm preaching and people are on their knees, humbling themselves before God in the middle of the sermon. Revival, come Holy Spirit. I'm looking forward to the day when we're worshiping and there's people everywhere on their knees because they sense and feel the Holy Spirit and they want to get right with God. And there's nothing more pressing in their life than God's will. And they don't care what other people think. Humbling yourself is recognizing that He is a big God. It's recognizing I'm a sinner in need of God's grace. It's recognizing I need forgiveness in my life. It's recognizing my life has not been godly at all. It's recognizing I need to turn to God, and I've been living a life of lies. I've been stealing, I've been cheating, I've been lusting, I've been doing all the things that I know is not pleasing to God, and I'm going to repent, I'm going to change my mind, I'm going to turn to God, and I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to seek Him with all of my heart and all of my soul. But it takes a while for some of us to humble ourselves, doesn't it? Let me tell you all the accomplishments I've done in my life. Let me tell you about my resume. Let me tell you about all the positions I've had. Let me tell you of all the places I've spoken. Let me tell you about everything that's happened because of me. Let me tell you about humbling yourself means I'm going to die to myself. And I want more of God. I want more of His Holy Spirit. I want Jesus to lead me. Use me, God. Forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Forgive me for my intentional sins and my unintentional sins. God, I want to be in fellowship with Your Holy Spirit every day. Use me to tell others about You. Oh, how many of you said that prayer this morning? How many of you said, Jesus, who do You want me to invite to church today? How many of you sent out a text this morning before you came to church and said, will You come to church with me? How many of you sent out a text during the week? How many of you sent out a text during the month or the year? Grateful people think differently. I love being with grateful people, don't you? Who would you rather work with, a grateful person or an ungrateful person? Who would you rather live with? Who would you rather be married to? Who'd you rather date? What friend would you rather have, a grateful friend or an ungrateful friend? Mark Batterson, he did some research on gratitude, and he learned that you can teach your brain to be grateful. And he said this, when you keep a gratitude journal, you train your brain to notice everyday miracles. It creates a category in your reticular activating system for any and every blessing. If you just start a journal saying, thank You, God, for it. Thank You, God, for it. Your brain will actually think differently. Then he goes on, when you train yourself to identify things you're grateful for, like a game of I Spy, those neural pathways get larger and stronger. So when you've trained your brain to look for God's goodness in your life, you start seeing God's goodness in your life. When you train your brain, oh, thank You, Lord, for that bird that's chirping away right now. I know You put that bird there just for me. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord, for this beautiful weather. I know You put a cloud over my head right now because You know, as a dark brother, I don't like the sun too much, and I thank You for that cloud over my head. Thank You, God. As a chocolate stallion, there it is. I'll just say that. I thank You, God. These eggs are so good. I made over easy eggs, and neither of them popped. They're perfect. Thank You, Lord, for this. I see Your goodness, God. I thank You, God. I thank You, God, for this parking spot right in front of Chipotle. God, You are so good. God, You know I'm in a rush. I thank You for that green light because You know I'm in a hurry. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. Thank you for waking me up. You know my alarm didn't wake me up. You woke me up. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, for this beautiful day while I'm on a run. Oh, God, thank you for this beautiful crisp morning. You are so good, God. Thank you for the breath in my lungs. Oh, Lord, thank you, God. I was hooked up in ICU for 10 days, but look at me standing right now. God is so good. You recognize the goodness of God in your life. Thank you, God. Every day is a gift from you. I thank you. Teach your brain to be thankful. Recognize the goodness of God over and over and over. The disciples said, "What good is that?" And Jesus said, "Give me those fish and loaves. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to do this miracle even though you didn't ask me to." We're going to be at Mapleton Skyview campus today. Can you join us? It's going to be great. We can use your help. Especially if you speak Spanish, we need you to throw down. We're going to pass out jackets and food and pray with people. I love verse 42. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. You know, when I was looking at this, something the Lord put in my mind was in the book of Exodus, when God was with the Israelites in the wilderness and they started complaining, big surprise, and they were hungry. And God said, "I'll provide manna from heaven." And in that story, God tells them, "I just want you to pick up enough food for today. And if you pick up food for tomorrow, it's going to go bad." Some of them didn't listen to God, and sure enough, that's what they learned. So they had just enough for the day, and that was in the Old Testament, and God took care of. I mean, if you look in John chapter 6, Jesus calls himself the bread from heaven, the bread of life, who comes down from heaven. But in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, there's leftovers. There wasn't leftovers with the Israelites with the manna. You know, a good chef, how many of you like to cook? Anybody really like to cook? I mean, and a good chef, some of you are really good. And like, you can look at how many people, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, okay, I know exactly how much salt to put in. I know exactly how much flour to put in. I know exactly how much, you get it down and you're right, you get it right there. And everybody has enough. You know, God is really good with math. Let me just blow you away. God is better at math than you. He's really good at math. God could have given exactly what they needed. The 15,000, the 20,000. He knew exactly how many mouths needed to eat. But you know what he did? He made sure there was leftovers. It's a picture of God's grace. It's a picture of God's love. It's a picture of a new covenant. Oh, this has come from the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of a life in the Spirit that's available for you and for me. It's a picture of the goodness of God. That's why David said in Psalm chapter 23, verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." Hallelujah. I posted this verse. I was preaching in Kansas City at a seminary, and I remember looking at the stage. Nobody was there yet, and this verse came to my mind. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows." David has, and maybe this is where you're at. David has this perspective of the goodness of God. "God, you are so good to me. You've been so merciful to me. You use me. You forgive me. You give me grace. You give me mercy. And you, God, you provide for me, and you've healed me, and you've heard my prayers." And he says, "My cup overflows. It's too much for me. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming." And the prophet Joel said it like this: "I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. So come, Holy Spirit, bring revival. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on servants, men and women alike, and I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Jesus said, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. You have a God who wants to pour his Holy Spirit on you. You have a God who wants you to experience your cup overflowing because of his goodness and his mercy and his presence and his Holy Spirit. That's the God you have. Do you want that God? I wonder how many of us would have been like this. I wonder how many of us would have been like, there's two fish and five loaves. Not enough. Come on. How many of you would have been like, not enough? Guys, there were 15, 20,000. And all the disciples who witnessed all these miracles said, it's not enough. Hello, what would you have said? We gave it a good try. Just not enough. You know, when I preach, I can't tell you how many times, guys, I live like on the mat. So many times I feel like I'm wrestling with the devil. And sometimes I feel like I'm wrestling with God, I'm like Jacob. And so many times I feel like the devil is just trying to distract me or pull me down. I live with this. And every time I preach, I feel like I'm living out the sermon. Every week. I don't know what it's like to be pregnant, but I'm guessing it's very similar to a woman carrying a baby. You can't escape it, and you feel that baby all the time. Very similar to that. This week, I'm going to be super transparent with you. I feel like, you know, we're related to our property. I'm going to share a little bit about that. We're discovering it's going to cost us more money. And we have two fish and five loaves. Hello. Did you hear that? It's like there's 135,000 and we've got 300. And I realized the Lord spoke to me this week. And I can take two positions. I can say, it's not enough. Or I can thank God for the two fish and five loaves. And I want you to know, I want you to know, I will publicly thank you now, God, for what you're about to do. I publicly thank you, God. I worship you, God. I thank you for the two fish and five loaves. I thank you, God, for the way you're moving here. I thank you, God, right now. Anybody with me, you need to thank God for the two fish and five loaves. Thank you, God, for moving in my home. Thank you for the faith I have. Thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you for your love. And I publicly praise you right now. I'm not going to wait for the miracle. I'm going to thank you right now, God. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to praise you right now, God. Thank you. Oh, Lord. May God be pleased with us now. Don't wait. Don't wait for the miracle. You thank God right now for saving your man. You thank God right now for saving your son. You thank God right now for saving your woman. You thank God right now for providing for you. You thank God right now for carrying you through it. You thank God right now. And thank God, I praise you right now for saving my marriage. Thank you, God, for saving my kids. Thank you, God, for watching over me. The two fish and the five loaves is enough. I thank you right now. I praise you right now. I worship you right now, God. You are so good. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Oh, guys, you don't get it. Oh, Jesus, help us. Guys, I drank the Kool-Aid. I just believe anything is possible with God. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. The faith is there, and it's because of my God. Call me foolish. Call me crazy. Whatever you want, it's all good. I know my God. I have a revelation. I have a revelation. You know what is going to happen here? One day, oh, I didn't share this last night. You're going to have to stand in line to come into church at Thorn Creek Church. There's going to be people standing against the walls because there's not anywhere to sit down. People are going to be turning to Jesus, and lives are going to be changed and transformed because of who he is, because of his mercy, because of his Holy Spirit. That's what's going to go down. Your life is going to change. Your home's going to change. Your marriage is going to change. Your children's going to change. Everything is going to be different because of the Holy Spirit working in here. You don't get it. Lives are going to change because of the Holy Spirit working here. Lives are going to change. Oh, Lord, help us. I want to give you an opportunity, guys, to turn to the Lord. So cool at this time. I have people stand up. Been doing this ever since our sabbatical. My sabbatical. But I want to give you an opportunity. If you're not a... Maybe you're not right with Jesus. Maybe you're not a Christian. I want to give you an opportunity to turn to Jesus. We had, I think, 10 people stand up last weekend. And you can be part of that team. We've had over, I don't know, well over 100 people in the last few months. Oh, Holy Spirit, have me right. If you're ready to turn to Jesus, would you stand up right now? You want to give your life over to Jesus. Is there anybody in the room that's ready to make that decision? You can stand up right where you're at, and I'll pray for you. All right? There's going to be more standing up in the future. You know why? Because you're going to start inviting people to church. I want to encourage you to do that. Maybe you've got 2 fish and 5 loaves. And you want to stand up and say, God, I'm going to give you these 2 fish and 5 loaves right now, and I want to thank you for the way you're about to move. Stand up really quickly. You would invite the Holy Spirit to fill you. Thank you, God. I worship you. And I thank you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you. If you didn't stand up, but you want to invite Jesus in your heart, would you say this? Say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I humble myself. Forgive me for my sins. And I turn to you today. Change me. Transform me. Others of you maybe need to say this. Lord, I've got 2 fish and 5 loaves, but I'm going to give it to you. Because it's enough. Change me. Change my home. Change my relationships. Change my job situation. Strengthen me. Encourage me. Do a miracle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's thank God for his word, church. Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.